Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
This is a day of celebration. In fact, every day is a celebration. Every day is a celebration because we are the remnant of those who belong to the only God that fulfilled every single word that said he would fulfill. We belong to the only king, the only one that no longer lives in the earth. His bones and his remains are no longer in the dirt, in the soil of this world, but he is risen again. Amen? He is risen again. Matthew chapter 27. I want us to read these verses this morning. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 57. If you have your Bibles this morning, open them up. It says, as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. And it says, in going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. And Joseph took the body, and he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. And he rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb, and he went away. The Bible says in verse 61 that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite of the tomb. And the next day, it says, the one after preparation day, it says, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell people that he has been raised from the dead. And this last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. He says, go and make the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and they made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. Matthew 28 and verse 1. It says, and after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. Going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and he sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. It says, and then the angel said to the women, he said, do not be afraid. For I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. So come and see the place where he lay, and then quickly, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. He says, now I have told you. Let's pray for the word this morning. Lord, we thank you, God, for your precious word, and we thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of Jesus, the resurrected King that is living inside each and every one of us this morning. And Lord, we're grateful, Lord, for everything that you have done for us. I pray, Lord, in these next moments, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me, speak through your word, and may your word, Father, fall upon, Lord, good soil, God, of our hearts today to receive these truths in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The truth is, church, is that not even the strongest of men could have kept Christ in the tomb that day. It could have been 100 and thousands of soldiers to guard the tomb where Jesus had laid, and guess what? He would have still escaped and he would have still risen from the dead. And though they planned that he would not escape the grave, how many of you know that God is a God of impossibilities? Amen? And he will not be held back by any single thing that the world thinks they can somehow hold him down with or suppress him with. And so the work of the Father had sent the Son to do, it would not be complete unless the Son of God had in fact risen from the dead. And we can thank the Lord this morning that our Savior is risen. Amen? And the Bible describes in those moments, church, that many angels were all around the tomb and they were attending that area. They were attending Christ and they were joying and they were rejoicing over what God had done. And so at the right time, the Bible says, those verses that we read, that one angel had appeared to the women and then two. And so the words that they spoke brought comfort to all who will believe in the name of Jesus, amen, and those who are far off. And they said these things, and I want us to make note of these this morning. The first thing that the angel said was, fear not. Fear not. You see, I believe, church, that there's a few reasons why the person who seeks after Christ should not fear. We can have a confidence, church, that wherever we go and no matter the circumstance that we find ourselves in, we can be confident today, church, that He is risen, that He is alive. And though there are moments in time and moments in our lives where it sometimes seems as though God is not present or God is not near, it does not mean that He is not alive. He is alive, amen? And so the angel said, fear not. And that is the reason he says this is because God knows the person who is seeking after Him. God knows those of you and I. He knows the motives of our hearts. He knows the people who diligently are searching for Him. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 4 and 29, it says, if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him. You will find Him if you look for Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You see, the disciples were completely shooken and they were completely, burdened in their hearts because the last thing they had witnessed, the last thing they had witnessed in their life was that they saw their Savior. They saw the one who they lived with for the last 3.5 years bleeding upon a cross. And I can imagine that the disciples had seen other people be crucified because this was Roman custom of the time. And if you could imagine with me the hope that they had placed in this man, the last thing that they had seen was that he was dying on a cross and that he had given up his spirit. When everything seemed bleak and all things seemed hopeless, after that third day, seeing an empty tomb and an angel sitting on a rock saying, fear not, was the very words that they would need to propel them to trust in the fact that Jesus was, in fact, risen from the dead. They needed to hear that truth that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. But if they trusted and they believed, then they would once again see the Lord face to face. Amen? Another reason that I believe they were to not fear was that because Christ has been crucified to save all mankind. For you and I this morning, sometimes we are, praying for those that we love and those that are far away from Jesus right now. And sometimes we have this fear as though the gap is too great, the sins are too great, the things that they have done are too great, that it seems as though salvation for them is out of reach, out of touch. But Christ has been crucified to save all of us. Amen. Romans 5 and 6 says, at just the right time, when you and I were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. That means, church, that because He died, we have no reason to fear. Because of the work on the cross, we have no reason to fear if we truly believe in Jesus and He is living in our hearts today. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14 says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Amen? Amen. The world should never fear choosing Jesus like many do. But the truth is many of them weigh the option of following Jesus, of wanting to know Jesus because of the things they might have to give up. But I'm here to tell you this morning, friend, unless we all die to our own will, unless we all die to our own plans and we completely surrender and are reborn again in Christ, only then can we truly live. Amen? Only then can we truly find life. And so the world should never fear choosing Jesus for fear of rejection because of their sin, because the Bible says that it is an unconditional love that Jesus offers us. They should never fear wanting to choose the Lord or feel as though God would somehow cast them out Because the truth of the matter is this, is that unconditional love looks like this, is that you can come to Jesus no matter the sin, no matter the condition, no matter how lost you were, no matter the moment in time. Just ask the penitent thief who was hanging on the cross next to Jesus. It doesn't matter the moment in time in which you say yes to Jesus. All it matters is that you say yes to Jesus. And in that moment of saying yes to Christ, in that moment of believing in your heart, all the sin, all the things that were before you that put a gap between you and God, when you confess Him as Lord and Savior and believe in your heart that He truly is risen from the dead, you will find true life. You will find true life in Him. Christ died for the sins and for the sinners of this world, that we ourselves would be included in the passing from death to true life. Amen? To begin a lifestyle that pleases God instead of ourselves. I believe another reason that the angel said to fear not was this, was because Christ has now risen and conquered death once and for all. We are living in a time, church, where I believe people are extremely fearful of dying. And for those of us who have Jesus in our hearts, for those of us who believe in Christ, death, church, the Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. We don't have to fear death like the world fears death. Because the Bible says that Jesus, in Romans 4:25, it says He was delivered over to death for our sins and He was raised to life for our justification. He was handed over to death. That is, he was given as a sacrifice for our sins, but He was raised to life for our justification. And if you and I believe in this Jesus, if we trust in this risen Savior, then we too will be justified and we too will be raised again to live with Him for eternity. Amen? Amen. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear hell. We do not have to fear the grave because death has been conquered for us. Amen? Death has been conquered by Jesus. Death has been conquered because He gave His life willingly. And because Christ is risen, because Jesus is now alive, we are no longer living, church, as we once lived, but we are now justified before the Father because of His blood. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. You are justified by the blood of Jesus. You don't have to earn this. This is a grace that God has given you. All you have to do is believe in your heart. All you have to do is believe that He is in fact risen today. Amen. Secondly, the angel said, he says, come see and believe. We must be reminded this morning that when he spoke these words to the women, he said, he is risen as he said. He is risen as he said. Again, we must prioritize and realize that the angels were making points, church, for you and I to take to heart as well. He was saying things that I believe would bring our heart comfort this morning. Though many in our world, church, do not believe in the existence of our Savior and many are still searching for His tomb, the fact remains that they will not find a body of Jesus in this earth. Because He is risen. And this should be proof to an unbelieving world that Christ does exist. That He was not just a historical figure. He was not just one of the prophets. He was the prophet. He was the King. He is the Lord. The truth is that you can dig the earth for the remains of any idol that has come before Jesus. You can dig the earth for the remains of any prophet that has come before Jesus, any self-proclaimed teacher or God. But the one who said, I am the resurrection and I am the life will never be found in this world, church. But rather, He is clothed with the finest of garments and He is seated in heaven's throne room at the right hand of God. He is risen. Amen. John 11:25, it says, Jesus says to her, He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. But do you believe this? That question, I believe, still remains today, is that do you believe this? I pray that you do, amen? The angel's statement was an invitation to every single man, woman, and child to come and see and believe. The world is looking at us, church. The world is looking at those of us who are disciples of Jesus. We are held with a great responsibility before our Father in heaven to represent Jesus well in the earth. Amen? To represent Him well in our speech, our conduct, our actions, our giving, our generosity, our love. And the Bible says that the world will know that you are marked disciples of Jesus when you love one another. But there is no marked grave for the Son of God like a cemetery in this world. There is no inscription saying that here lies Jesus Christ. But there's only an invitation to believe in the work of the cross, the resurrection of the Christ, and receive the gift of the Spirit. It was Matthew Henry that said this. He says, come and see the victories of the cross. He says, Christ's wounds are thy healings. His agonies, thy repose. His conflicts, thy conquests. His groans, thy songs, and his pains, thine ease. His shame, thy glory, and his death, thy life, and his sufferings, thy salvation. Isaiah chapter 53 says that he was pierced for our transgressions. And the Bible says that the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Christ. I believe for those of us who have said yes to Jesus as our risen Savior, then the third thing that the angel said must be our life's mission in this world. The third thing the angel mentioned was this. He says, go and quickly and tell the glorious news. Sharing the news of the gospel, church, is 100% essential. Because this story is not just a story. It's not just a story that we recite or read from the past. But this story is still activated by the Holy Spirit. This story is still alive and well, that when you open your mouth to tell somebody about the glorious news of Jesus Christ, when you open your mouth to tell them that there is a God that loves them, when you go out of your way to mention the name of Jesus in corporate circles, in communities, in neighborhoods, the Spirit of the living God rests upon that word to remove blind eyes from people, to remove scales from their eyes, to remove the hardness of their heart so that they can receive salvation, church. And this glorious news is still ever powerful as it was 2,000 years ago, as it is today. Amen. The gospel is still powerful, church, and it still saves souls. Amen? Amen? This is the greatest news of all of history, that Christ is risen. This is the greatest news. And the truth is that one day, church, we have this news that says that He will meet you and you will meet Him forever in glory because His love covers a multitude of sins. This is wonderful news. You're not going to find this on any news channel. I can guarantee you that. You're not going to find this news, my friend, on any social media platform. God has given it to you and I to carry into this world. He has given it to you and I to carry to those who are lost. And these urgent instructions, they were given for several reasons. I believe because the discouraged believers, that is the disciples, they were the first ones the women were to tell. You see, after they received this glorious message from the angel that he was in fact alive, the first thing that the angel wanted them to do was to go and to tell those who belonged to Jesus. He said, go and find the disciples and tell them of this glorious news. Tell them that Jesus is no longer behind a rock in a tomb. And so through their excitement, I could imagine, church, that if you had an angel appear to you right now to give you a message, a divine encounter from God, I could guarantee that any one of us would just run off in excitement, in happiness, in joy to tell this message that Jesus was alive. But without these instructions to go and quickly and tell this glorious news of our risen Savior, then we might not know today of Him who died for us. You see, unless they told, unless they spoke, unless they went, you and I wouldn't know about Jesus today. Romans 10 and 11 says this, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. It says it's the same Lord is Lord of all, and He richly blesses all who call on Him. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Let this be a continual encouragement to you this morning, church, that we possess the greatest news, the most glorious news of all, of our risen King. This is a message of a King who willingly laid down His crown, who willingly laid down His earthly rights, who bore in His body our punishment so that we could be free from sin and alive forever with Him. Amen? This is an awesome message. I said, this is the greatest message of all. But the message, the teachings of Christ, the life that He lived might all be in vain unless you and I testify of this powerful work. Unless you and I tell somebody about Jesus, unless we share it with somebody who does not know Him. Amen? Amen. Christ is risen this morning. Amen. I said, Christ is risen this morning. And He has been for 2,000 plus years. And this morning, church, we can rejoice and we can be glad, for this is the day that the Lord has made. He has established it from the beginning of time, church, that this is another day that He has made. I am grateful, church, that I am still alive today. And I cannot let another day go by without telling somebody about the glorious news of Jesus Christ. We need to shout it from the rooftops, church, that we serve the only living God. That we serve the only one, church, who will return for His bride. That is you and I, the church. The one who will reign forever in glory. The one that will be with us to take us to be with Him. This King, church, is coming back. I said, this King is coming back, and He will rescue us from this fallen world, and we shall rise to be like Him forever in glory. Amen. And this King, church, deserves our praise. He deserves our honor. He deserves our respect and our reverence. This King is worthy of our lives and our love like no other. Because this King went into the realms of hell that we deserved, and He took back the keys of death, church. He took back the authority for you and I, and He said, listen, I have got it. I've got the key. And I possess what no other man in this world could ever give you. I possess the very chain-breaking power, the very resurrection power to set any captive free. And I will come back and I will lead them in triumphal procession. I will take those who were once captive, and I will set them free once and for all so that they can be with me in glory, church. This King thought that you were worth dying for. This King thought that we were worth dying for. If that isn't a picture of love, then I don't know what is. The Bible says that there is no greater love than that love that He gave for us, that He would lay down His life for His friends. He no longer calls us servants, church. He now calls us friends. He no longer calls us orphans. He now calls us sons and daughters of God. You have been adopted as his own, and he is alive and he is risen. Amen. Could somebody stand to your feet and give the Lord glory this morning? I want us to just thank the Lord for a moment. Holy Spirit, we love you. Ushers, would you come? Holy Spirit, we just bless you this morning. And God, we thank you, Lord, with all gratefulness in our hearts today. Because the blood that was shed, that was spilled for us, it still covers us today. It still frees us today. It still gives us comfort and hope today. It still is more than enough for us, Lord. And Lord, what else can we say this morning but thank you, Jesus? Everyone in this room, just say, thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you that we are forgiven by your blood. We thank you that we are forgiven by your sacrifice this morning. We bless you, and we thank you that you are, in fact, alive and well. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, would you pass out communion this morning? He is so faithful. He is so faithful. The Bible says that his love extends to 1,000 generations. The Bible says that his faithfulness stretches through the skies. Amen. The beauty about the Lord is this, is that when you said yes to Jesus, when you gave him your heart and you gave him your life, the Bible says that he forgot your sin. He buried it into the deepest depths of the sea. And the Bible says that he has forgiven you. And he has separated your sin as far as the east is from the west, to no longer remember that, to no longer count that against you. And so every single day we have the high priest, who is Jesus, as our advocate, standing in the gap for all time to remind the Father that you are covered in the blood. To remind the Father that you are covered in the blood, and that you are still whole and you are new, and that you are made justified and redeemed because of his blood, because of his sacrifice this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." And it says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you.'" He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now, as we take the bread this morning, church, let us never forget that he was broken once and for all for our sins. But today he is glorified in the presence of heaven, and he is unscathed by death and mortality. Amen. Please take the bread. Thank you, Jesus. the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." He says, "Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Please take the cup. The new covenant of Christ's blood means that it never has to be spilled again. Amen? It is more than enough. It says, "For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. With every hand raised this morning, Jesus, we thank you and we honor you. And Lord, it will be our life's mission, God, to serve you, Lord, until you return. It will be our purpose, Lord, to tell of your faithfulness, God, and to tell, Lord, of your goodness, Lord, in this world, God, until you return. And I believe, Lord, that you are coming. And Lord, I believe that you are coming soon, Lord, that you will return for your bride, Lord, soon. And God, you're not returning for those who have tried to earn their way into heaven, Lord. You're not coming for those who have tried to be perfect, God, or somehow, Lord, be justified by themselves, Lord. But Lord, we can only be justified by the sacrifice that you made. And so, Lord, you've called us to believe. You've called us to share this wonderful truth, Lord. You've called us to make disciples of all nations, Lord, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you gave us your promise, Lord, that never will you leave us and never will you forsake us. You will return, Jesus. And our eyes will be looked up to heaven, Lord, to where our help comes from every single day. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. And we thank you, God, that you are risen, Lord. Father, I bless your people, Lord, and I anticipate, Father, a beautiful service, God, in just a few hours, Lord. But should you come, Lord, I pray that every single heart, Lord, is ready, God, and anticipating, Lord, that moment, Lord, when the eastern sky splits, Lord, and you will return for your people. And so, Jesus, we thank you, God, for this time together this morning, Lord. We thank you, God, that we are able to celebrate your life. We thank you, God, that we are able, Lord, to acknowledge your death, Lord, that gave us life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a praise this morning, church? Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.